A message, series message on the Bible, benedictions. Now, the word benediction comes from two Latin words, bene, which means well, and discere or discere, which means speak. In other words, to speak well of. You know, the things that you say make a difference. Amen. And there's two things that you can always will be positive. Two things when you see somebody. Number one, how are you? And just let them talk. And then number two, how can I help you? And then let them talk. Amen. And I promise you, you'll be big in their eyes if you do ask those two questions. Because what we say makes a difference. And a benediction is, the Bible contains several blessings that have often been used as prayers of benediction. And so I want to highlight to you eight of them over the next few weeks. And just so that you'll know what they are, we're going to talk about the benediction of favor, which was last Sunday. And next Sunday, you don't want to miss next Sunday, the benediction of the Trinity, and then the benediction of grace, the benediction of peace, Ephesians chapter 6, the benediction of empowerment, Hebrews 13, and we'll conclude with the benediction of assurance. And I don't have time to read all of those tonight, but they will certainly bless your life. But tonight I want to talk to you about the benediction of hope. And just remember that the benediction was given at the summation or conclusion. So in other words, at the concluding part of the letter, in summary and conclusion. And that's why we often pronounce these at the end of the service. But how many of you know that the benediction is really not to conclude, but it is a blessing that brings conclusion to bring continuation beyond the conclusion. In other words, we don't really ever close our services. We take the service out into the street and into the highways and into the hedges. And so tonight, as we leave the service, when we get ready to leave, we will be blessed by the benediction of hope. Would you stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Roman, and I don't know if we'll have all of this online tonight on our overhead, because it is possessed by a demon spirit, and we're going to exercise it shortly, I hope. And all of God's people said amen. You do know evil spirits can get into computers and processors and overhead projectors. Come on now. You know, if they can get into pigs, they can get into projectors. Can I get a witness out there? Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's read it together. Benediction of the book of Romans. Ready? Read. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them, and you may be seated tonight. The benediction of hope. Right now, the world is transfixed on 12 soccer players in Thailand, who somehow became trapped in a cave. I believe the latest is about 4 have been rescued. And they have been sending supplies to keep them alive. Reminds me of what happened in December 1927. Just off the coast of Massachusetts, a United States submarine was broadsided by a frigate. The frigate had no concept what it had hit. It was operating under sealed orders. They had no idea how badly they had been hit. They had been hit right in the engine room, in the electrical room, and everything on that submarine shut down within a matter of minutes. It rested on the floor of the Atlantic Ocean. They sent out the USS Falcon. They sent down some deep water divers to see if there was any possibility of rescuing the sailors that were on board that ship. Now, they were alive, and they knew they were alive, but they were shut off. All of their engines were shut down. No electrical light was, all electricity had gone out. They were sitting there. Everything was getting colder by the minute, because at the bottom of the ocean, no oxygen coming in, just what they had in reserves that they could breathe for just a few hours. Deep sea divers got down close to the hull of the submarine, and they could hear something. They didn't know what it was. They heard what they thought was tapping. And Brother Elam, please shut the back doors if you don't mind. I just like to focus on the room and a lot of hall noise and stuff sometimes. Thank you, my brother. And they heard tapping and they were not sure what it was. And then they figured out that one of the sailors on the inside was tapping in Morse code. And when they translated the Morse code, the submarine person on the inside was tapping out this message. And here's what the message was. Down in the bottom of the Atlantic, losing oxygen, all hope seemed to be gone. And here's what they were tapping out. Here's this. Is there any hope? And you know, that's a question that a lot of people are asking today. When we see the problems in America, maybe perhaps in your marriage, maybe for your lost children, maybe for your situation, you may be feeling like you're at the bottom, and maybe you are asking, maybe not in Morse code, maybe not typing, but in your spirit, you are asking, is there any hope? And I want you to know that according to this Bible benediction tonight, 1,000%, no matter what situation you face, no matter what the report says, no matter what you are seeing in the natural, no matter what hope seems to be gone, there is hope. You know, hope is a message of these benedictions. I don't have time to read them all, but for example, we will get to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Faithful is he that calleth you who will do it. That's a message and a benediction of hope. Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the final benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and dominion and power both now and forever. I'll tell you, there is hope. Somebody give him a hand of praise tonight. Now, I want to define hope or Bible hope, because words fall in hard times. Words that were written and inspired can lose their cutting edge with the common vernacular and colloquialism. Understand that hope in the Bible is a lot different than hope in English that we use today, because we use the word hope very loosely today. Johnny, I want you to clean your room. And somebody says, well, did Johnny clean his room? I sure hope so. Well, you know, they're giving raises on the job. Are you going to get a raise on the job? Well, I hope so. Well, I heard the air conditioning was broke down. And is somebody coming by to fix it? I haven't heard for sure, but I... So please understand that that's not what I'm talking about. Hope, in the way we use it today, is more of a wish. I wish he would clean his room. I wish he would get off the phone and talk with me. I wish the air conditioner was fixed. I wish they would quit playing their music so loud. I wish I would get a raise. But my friend, hope in the Bible is not a blessed wish. The Bible calls the coming of the Lord not the blessed wish, not the blessed maybe, not the blessed might happen. No, sir, the coming of the Lord is called the blessed hope. Brother, there's no doubt about hope. When the Bible gives us hope, it's not a wish or I hope or I wish so or I think so or maybe so. Hope is it's going to happen in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I have blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Oh, thank God tonight for the blessed hope and the benediction of hope. Give him another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Somebody say amen. First of all, if you'll go to Romans 15:13, let's look at the response to hope. The response. Romans 15:13. The very first word, I'm going to read it to you. Now unto him, or now the God of hope. Just go ahead and turn to it in your Bible because you're going to need it tonight. I made the devil mad by telling him he was possessed out of the system. Let's go. Now the God of hope. But we're getting victory. Amen. What's the first word in that benediction? Somebody shout it. The first word is now. Somebody say it again. So you got to understand that we're talking in summary of what? The book of Romans. Romans has 16 chapters. There's one more chapter after this benediction, but pretty much this is the end. Now, why was the book of Romans written? And I don't have time to teach it. I'm just going to give it to you in a synopsis. The book of Romans was written basically to answer this question. Who and how can a person be saved? Say that with me. Who and how can a person be saved? Because what was happening was that the Gentiles were being converted. The Gentiles were being saved. And the Jews were having a hard time understanding the grace of God given to the Gentiles. And so Romans chapter 1 speaks of verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto what? Unto the Jew and also unto the Greek or the Gentile. So the very essence that Paul is writing Romans is to tell you who can be saved, Jew and Gentile, Greek and barbarian. It doesn't matter, red, yellow, black and white. My goodness, there's no racism in glory. Listen, God made us all different colors and shades and shapes and sizes. In fact, when he made you, he basically said this, I'll never do that again. Amen. We are all unique. We all have our unique characteristics. Everybody is somebody in his body. He is made of one nation, of one blood, all the peoples of the nation. I'm not white. You're not black, Hispanic, we're all red. What do you mean? We all have the blood. And most importantly, if we're saved, we have the blood. Salvation is for everyone. Amen. Aren't you glad it didn't leave you out? Amen. And so Paul is writing that who can be saved and how can they be saved? And he talks about how that all have sinned. You Jews, you may have had the law, you may have had the prophets, Abraham, but you have sinned as well. You Gentiles, you have not the law and the prophets, but you have a conscience, either excusing you letting you go or making it worse. I'm just giving you the Ricky Nims translation. You have the conscience. Either way, law or conscience, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only does he say who can be saved and how can you be saved? All have sinned. In Romans chapter 4 verses 7, he brings it even down further and says you have sinned. Amen. It's one thing to talk about everybody sinning. It's one thing to talk about all these heathens out there. But I'm here to tell you, the man in the mirror, you have sinned as well. Because Paul said, guess what? I have sinned. Oh, wretched man that I am in my body. I do things that I don't want to do. And I wish I would do things that I should do. And we are all under sin. We all have the problem. We all need Jesus. And we can all be free by the Spirit and the grace of God. Then we get into Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. All things work together for good. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's shouting ground. Can you say amen? Amen. Then he goes back in Romans 9 through 12 and he gets back to the issue, theological issue of the Jews and how that the Gentiles were grafted in. And basically he's saying that we are all needing the Lord. We're all needing salvation. And then he gets in chapter 13, 14, 15. And he says, since we're all lost, and since we all come to Jesus, and we can all be saved, and since you have been saved, Jew and Gentile, now work together. Can you say amen? And he gives practical exhortations on how to live a godly life. In fact, if you go to Romans chapter 15, verses 7 through 13, he begins to wind it down by saying this. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ received us. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. For this cause I will confess to thee, to the Gentiles, and sing thy name. Verse 10. And Again, he said, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. Look at Romans 15 and 12. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. And in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. In other words, he says, now that you've been saved, now that you've been sanctified, now that you're brothers in the Lord, let's move on with life. Let's pray. Praise God. Right now is the time to serve him. Right now is the time to proclaim him. Right now is the time to rejoice because of his grace. That is amazing. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till somebody does something. Or we ought to, but let's do it now. If you're going to praise God, praise him now. If you're going to serve God, serve him now. Don't wait for another day. Now is the time. Give the Lord a hand of praise right now. Somebody shout now. Praise God. Let me tell you, he's working now. He's blessing now. He's saving now. Hallelujah. I thank God for history. I love history. I read it. I digest it because it makes me hungry. When I read about J.H. King and B.H. Irwin and these men, and man, they love the fire and they love the experiences and they love the Word of God. When I read about that 100 years ago, I think, Lord, thank you for what you did then. It's making me hungry to do something now. Say amen. He is blessing now. He is working now. He is saving now. Here's the question. Will you praise him now? Will you obey him now? Will you trust him now? Our response should be now to everything. Don't put off what God has called you to do. Don't put off witnessing to your neighbor. Don't put off forgiving somebody. Don't put off reading your Bible. Don't put off anything. Today is the day. Now is the time. Let's win the lost at any cost. Let's come to church, build the church right now in our generation. Don't say I'm too old. Don't say I'm too young. I'm telling you right now means now, and it means you right now. Go back to Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope fill you. Someone say fill. Ooh. Some of you, I'm looking at you tonight. And you're about 3/4 empty. Come on. I wasn't able to fill my car. Saturday, I filled the Lincoln. And I washed the bugs off the windshield. Because when I drive the Lincoln on Sunday, I want it to be full. Full of gas. Pastor said, when it gets to half tank, fill her up. Amen. That's a good principle to live by. Hallelujah. I love that mentality. Speaks of how he thinks even in spiritual things. Don't even get half empty. Glory to God. Just get full. Hallelujah. Now the God of peace fill you. Some people are filled with madness. Oh, they're mad about this and mad about that and mad about this situation, mad about somebody, mad about something. And if we get together long enough and start thinking about the wrongs and injustices, and we can be angry and sin not. I am mad about abortion. I am mad about pornography filling the airwaves. Did you know that Disney is, I learned this in a Best Buy training conference. Did you know that Disney is the number one provider of pornography in America? They own the number one porn. You would have never thought that Walt Disney would roll in his grave, that somebody would purvey that junk in his name. But friend, there's a lot to get mad about, but we don't have to be filled with madness. Some of you are filled with sadness. Oh, my girlfriend broke up with me. Oh, somebody posted on Facebook. Oh, I'm sad because of some situation. Let's not be filled with madness. Let's not be filled with sadness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's be filled with peace and joy and victory. And the Holy Ghost, be filled. Don't be half tank. Fill her up, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. How many of you want to be filled tonight and thrilled tonight? Lift your hand and say, fill me, O Lord. Some are filled with bitterness. Offenses, anger, wrath, malice, envy, strife. Well, these aren't not to be in the church of the living God. Amen. If you're looking for a perfect church, whatever you do, don't start attending. Because you'll mess it up. Amen. I know Westmoreland's not a perfect church. You know why? Because I'm a member of it. Now, I'm talking about Ricky Nims. Now, you're perfect. I see the glory of God in your lives. But I live with Ricky. And sometimes I have to deal with my own humanity. I'm a sanctified man, but I'm also a man. But I'll tell you what, this is what brings me hope. That right now, he can feel me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can't ever be filled. Somebody sung it today. Somebody said it today. Maybe it was Sister Lisa. Maybe it's Darnell and her song. Maybe it was the pastor and his comment. I can't remember. Maybe Brother Ray. Somebody said something. But we can't be filled until we're emptied. And listen, we need to be emptied of self. And God will fill us. Now the God of peace fill you. Fill you with all joy and peace. Oh, that's what I need, to be filled with joy and peace. Somebody give him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. That's the response. Now, and be filled. Now, number two, look at the requirement. If you want a benediction of peace, of hope, you've got to, there's a requirement. Now go back to Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. What's the next two words? Has anybody got it? In what? Mm-hmm. In believing. This kind of ties in with point one. You know, we got a lot of people that believe. I believe, bless God, the 14 doctrines of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. I believe that I got saved in 1932. Amen. I believe I got saved in 1999. But this is not past tense. Say that with me. This is not past tense. We got a lot of Christians living in the past tense. Now, we as Pentecostals, we'll argue with our beloved friends who believe in once saved, always saved. We'll argue with them. And we should theologically state the truth in a sweet spirit. No, sir, you can't once saved, be always saved. You can backslide. You can't lose salvation. We'll argue with those who say it. We hear somebody preach it. We'll get upset. You're not preaching the truth. But I tell you what, we Pentecostals, we don't believe in once saved, always saved. But I tell you what, we practice once sanctified, always sanctified. Once baptized in the Holy Ghost, always baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? I do believe once sanctified, I'm going to be sanctified through. But I'm going to tell you something else. Sanctification is an everyday living process. Can you say amen? Somebody say believing. Amen. It's not the past tense. Thank God that I went to the upper room. But you know what? In Acts chapter 2, they went in the upper room. They came out. And then in Acts chapter 4, they went back and prayed again, maybe not in the upper room, but they prayed, and it said the Holy Ghost filled them, and to the place was shaken. Wait a minute. They got the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, but they needed again in Acts chapter 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 all the way to chapter 20, 27 and even beyond. Friend, I want you to know there's a requirement. We got to keep believing. We got to keep serving. We got to keep on going on. We got to keep on moving forward. He didn't say, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace since you believed. But in believing, I'm still believing for victory. I'm still believing for souls to be saved. I'm still believing for the glory of the latter house to be greater than that of the former house. I'm still believing Sister Judy Meeks is going to get healed. I'm still believing you're going to get touched. I'm still believing my family is going to get saved. When I die, I'll be died not a believer having believed, but when I die, I'll be dying like this. He died believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody say amen. Now, I preach this, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith. Uh-oh, there's that word now again. Say it with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you read in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, now this is tying back to point one, but it's also really enforcing point two, because it says by faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham and Sarah received strength to conceive, even though Sarah's womb was dead. By faith, Moses, whose mother thought him a proper child, he was not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, he forsook the pleasures of this world to suffer with the people of God. And by faith, David, and by faith, different ones. And you know what? I really believe that you have to understand that faith is something that not just happened. Faith is something that's happening. So I want to ask you this. Are you faithing it? Ask somebody that right now. I say, are you faking it? Are you faithing it? Are you faithing it? Because faith has to be in the now. Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing or in faithing. I'm still faithing some things. Amen. I'm faithing it. I'll tell you something. Pastor preached this. Faith will fight your fears. And some of you have got some fears that are real and genuine. But you need to be faithing it when it comes to your fears. Perfect love casts out all fears. Faith will fight facts. I just mentioned Abraham and Sarah. It's a fact that you can't have a baby at that age. It's a fact that the water will not divide on its own. It's a fact that the sun can't stand still when you're fighting the battle. But I'll tell you, when you're faith in it, it changes the facts. Glory to God. Oh, you got to keep believing. You got to keep faithing. Friend, this is in the present tense. God is the God. He is the I am the bread of life. I am he that was dead and now that I'm alive. He is the great I am that I am. Somebody say amen. Faith will fight fears. Faith will fight facts. Faith will fight feelings. That's a biggie for us. Feelings. And you're just going to have to take your feelings and faith it. Amen. It didn't say how you feel it, but how you faith it. Well, I don't feel like praising God. I've got skin worms on my body and I'm laying on a bed heap of ashes. How you feeling, Job? I don't feel very well, but he didn't go by, he didn't feel it. He faithed it. Amen. But I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last, I'm going to stand. Man, that's a man that lived. He was the man that lived. The God of hope filled him with joy and peace in believing, even though he was going through the valley of the shadow of death. How do you feel, John, on the Isle of Patmos? I'll tell you, I'm on a craggy rock and everybody else has died and I'm resigned to this terrible place, but he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, but it might not have felt like the Lord's place, but surely the presence of the Lord is even in that island, because from there he saw him whose hair was white as wool, whose voice was the sound of many waters, and his feet like fine brass. Oh my goodness, you can faith it. You can it is believing, it is receiving, it is faith in it, no matter what you're facing tonight. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. Not in seeing. Amen? Because we don't always, listen, we don't always see, but we can always believe. In fact, here's the opposite. Many people say, well, if I see it, I will believe it. But to the child of God, it's reversed. I believe it. Praise God. And then I will, or I'll see it. Amen. Amen. It says through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Say that with me. Through faith, we understand worlds were framed by them. Now notice where faith is and notice where understanding is. It didn't say we understand by faith. Are you with me? It says, by faith, we understand. See, we're trying to understand and then have faith. But God says, you got to have faith and then I'll show you and you'll understand it. Oh, thank God for it. And what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, of the prophets who through faith, there it is, they faithed it. They subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance because they were already delivered. They might obtain a better resurrection. And others, a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, bonds of and imprisonment. Can I just stop right here and tell you, we've got a very easy way to go here in America. And there may come a time, and that's why we need to pray for these elections. And I know there's some very undiscerning Christians who know not the hour or the times or how God moves and works, who are actually joining in on the opposite side, though they do not realize it, though they should realize it. For ignorance cannot and must not will ever be an excuse on the day of judgment. That was good preaching right there. Listen. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens. All of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise here. God providing some better thing. Somebody say something better. Something better. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, please, keep on believing. There is something better. I say there's more for Westmoreland. There is a brighter tomorrow. There, it's not going to stay like it is. We're coming through it to get to it. And now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that something good is about to happen. And something, why would you put your hand together if you believe it tonight? I'm believing for great things. I may have to be patient with it, but I'm not going to lose my belief. My belief is going to have an ING. I don't just believe. Say it with me. I'm believing. I'm going to be serving. I'm going to be shouting. I'm going to be praising. I'm going to be glorified right now in the present tense. That's the requirement for the benediction of hope. Can you say amen? The response is in the now. To be filled. The requirement is that you be believing. And then finally, the resource. What resource is this? Notice it says, if you look again, Romans 15 and 13. And by the way, I hope this is blessing you as much as it's blessed me. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Read it with me. Now the God of hope, Romans 15, 13. Ready? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy. That's the resource. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit helps us through these trials and through these tests. You need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? We have a resource. Did not Jesus say, nevertheless, it is expedient that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him. Me and my Father will send him. And I love the rest of that scripture. And that we, hallelujah, the Trinity, that's coming next Sunday, may abide with you forever. I have a source of power. It is not medical power. It's not electrical power. It's not educational power. It's not friendship, relational power. I have a source of power. It is the person and the power of the Holy Spirit that enables my hope and helps me to believe and receive. His name is Jesus, but he blesses us through his sweet Spirit. Can you just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome in your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. The churches had rest. throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. How saddened I was today to see one of the great church growth icons, one of the most strong, I preached some of his stuff, excellent material, but in growing the church, they got into this philosophy and many others that we have so many people here that don't know this and don't know that. So we better not say very big religious words. And I'm okay with that, because you want to speak in a language people understand. You don't want to speak. Jesus said, consider the lilies and behold the fowl. I mean, he spoke in everyday language. Say amen. But then it turned in the last few years to one leading preacher saying, we no longer need to say these words. The Bible says, because people don't believe the Bible. So don't say the Bible says. I'm sorry. The Bible says. It is the Word of God, whether you believe it or not. Tell me you don't believe it. You mean we have 652 copies of it, and we only have about 30 or 40 of the Iliad and the Odyssey, which predate the Word of God, and yet you can believe the Iliad and the Odyssey, but you can't believe from antiquity that we have 600 copies that say almost word for word the same thing? The Dead Sea Scrolls that were discovered in 1950 confirm what was discovered back in the 1,000 years ago in the caves of Israel. I'm telling you, there's more evidence for the Word of God. My God, this is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. And I will never, never, never be the same. I stand on the Word. And I know these church growth guys, I mean it. I believe we need to grow. Amen. But one of them I found out had been in sin the whole time. Well, let me tell you how to grow to church. I'm going to read it again. And we do need to learn and grow. But listen, it says, they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, were multiplied. Somebody say amen. The Holy Spirit is our resource. And they say, well, we'll just take it and put it in another room, and we don't want to scare people. Some people need to be scared. Now, I'm not talking about being out of order or wildfire. That does not help the cause of Christ. But the true, genuine operation and moving of the Holy Spirit in a congregation is our resource. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. And the Word of God. Romans chapter 8 tells us that when we don't know how to pray, and I'm going to tell you, I see Pastor Nate here. He's so young. So young. He's doing so well. Really loves the Lord. And I thought about when I was his age and I just had a heart to serve God. And I love the Lord. I love holiness. I love Pentecost. And I love going to Falcon. And man, if they strike it up, it won't nothing for me to dance around the front of that building. I'd still do it if it strikes me. And I feel led to. But I'm going to tell you, there's just going to come some times, Pastor Nate, in years to come, you're not even going to know how to pray. Lord, what do I do? Well, how do I pray? There's been times in my life in the last few years, I've said, Lord, I prayed. I don't know what else to pray. Well, guess what? Romans chapter 8 says, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not how to pray. But he comes through us and prays with groanings that sometimes cannot be uttered. What a resource in the Holy Spirit. You deny yourself when you deny the power and the giftings. And there's something, well, I got saved and that's it. You're denying the great benediction. You're denying that the Holy Spirit will be with you at Best Buy. He will be, oh man, I'll mess people up every now. If I feel like I gotta be careful. Every now and then I'm talking about, well, you're at Blessed Buy. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. I wish somebody say hallelujah tonight. I have a source called the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I'm about to break loose up here tonight. Hallelujah. You know what the Spirit will do? He'll remind you of the Word of God. By the way, you need to read the Word of God so He can bring it up to your memory. You can't pull up a file on your computer until you download it. Amen. And I'm reading the Bible through, and I didn't go by the guide we went through as a church. I'm kind of going through my own personal guide there, and I'm gonna tell you, reading the Word, there's just fresh stuff, and the Holy Spirit will bring that Word to your remembrance. Somebody say amen. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. Howbeit when he, and I'm coming to a close, just Brother Wilson, if you'll come, and thank you so much for helping tonight. John 16:13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And whatsoever he shall hear, he will speak and he will show you things to come. Matthew 10:19 says, when they deliver you up, take no thought what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you that hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaks through you. Somebody pray this prayer. Lift your hand and pray this prayer. Say, Spirit of my Father, speak through me. Spirit of my Father, speak through me. Oh my goodness. We talk about speaking in tongues and that's powerful, but sometimes we need a word in season. Sometimes we just need to speak comfort. Sometimes we don't know what to say. And then we say, Lord, you just speak through me. Aren't you glad it's through the Holy Ghost? It's through the Spirit of God. We're not alone. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Brother Ricky, you don't know what I'm going through. You're the one I'm talking to. Now may the God of hope fill you. You don't know what I'm facing this week. May he fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power. Sister Scott, keep those hands lifted. I see a breakthrough coming. Stretch your hands this way to her tonight, church. I just saw her lifted up. Sister, the God of hope is filling you. I said, you're believing, you're believing, you're believing, you're believing. I break the curse in the name of Jesus. I speak divine healing over those boys. I speak provision. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight for hope. Come on. Come on. Praise him tonight. Is there any hope? That's what they were tapping out in that submarine. Those boys in Thailand. I'll tell you tonight, there is hope. Would you stand with me tonight? Oh, thank you. Right now, we believe you, Lord. Now. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow morning. Give us this day, this day, this day. Our daily, 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 daily bread. Just go ahead and sing whenever you pull it together. Do you love him tonight?
Oh, I love Jesus.
Oh, we love you, Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Is there any hope? There is, in the name of Jesus. Do you love it?
Praise God.
Have you lost hope?
Yes.
Are you still believing? I'm believing tonight for the Lord. Would you step out of your seat and receive the benediction here at the altar? Oh,
how I love.
To me he's become wonderful.
To me he is so wonderful.
Yes, he is.
To me.
Keep on waiting. Keep on believing.
So wonderful.
Come on, sing it, choir, tonight. Yeah.